of the Far Corners weekend. I can't tell you how happy I am that everybody's here. It's been like forming a new family, and I know I'll never forget it. I wanted to thank Scott and Bob for last night. It really was just wonderful to sit back and watch what I saw. And I introduced them using the metaphor of dance, that life is a dance, and that the ability to make it simple is what makes it so beautiful. But what I'd like to ask you to think about is this, that when we saw them up there last night, they were not the dancers. They were the dancers. You go, what is that? What we saw was God doing the Scott Redmond. And then God did the Bob Bazans. And when you see that dance, that's really worth seeing. That's the one where you're not there. And God can dance through you, or speak through you, or just have His energy flow through you, or have His light flow through you. So what we're doing this weekend is trying to awaken to other ways of seeing things that are right in front of our own eyes. So we've deliberately tried to provide alternative language, which is inadequate, but it is a way of attempting to share a different vision. And you go, yeah, that is what I saw. And we've had a lot of analogies of the drama, the play, and the sailing the vessel across the sea, and the drama of life. And today we're going to be in the game of life. Life's been called all these various things. But before I get there, I want to tell you the end of the drama. We had the thing where Shakespeare said that the world's a stage and we're but players on it. I already know the ending. You've been wondering, well, how does the drama end? How does this thing, we all, you know, we've assembled all these characters that wouldn't ordinarily mix. We got one of everything. And we've got stories that are just, I mean, it's just amazing. We got the child molesters, the corporate raiders, the mother haters, the swearers, the filth, the thieves, the liars, the ragers. I mean, we got everything. And so you kind of wonder, a lot of this crowd, who gets to make it? You know what I'm saying? Who gets to go to the third dimension or the fourth dimension? Who gets to see the ultimate reality? Who is going to be chosen and who isn't? And it's a happy ending. Everybody gets in. That's the end of the play. Everybody gets in. Well, almost everybody. Jesus, just one guy doesn't get in. The only one. And it's a very misleading guy. I mean, the rapist is out there. Am I going to get in? Yeah. You sorry you did that? Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Oh, come on in. But there's this one guy, and he's amazing. When I describe this guy to you, you're going to say, well, why wouldn't he get in? This guy prays a lot. And he's very connected to his higher power. And he expresses gratitude almost constantly. Isn't that something? But why wouldn't that guy? Why would he be the one guy that's left out of the whole deal? And he sits and he contemplates and he realizes the humanity and how the human race is lost. And the environment is just going downhill. And the people are killing each other. And there's wars. And it's just disgusting filth. And it's just awful. He has the clearest vision of humanity. And he says to his higher power, God, I'm so glad you let me see this. I am so grateful that you placed me in a position where I can see this in its clarity. You'll never know how grateful I am that I'm not one of them. I don't know how to express my gratitude to you, God. I don't know why you chose me to not be in that filth. I am so grateful to be up here looking at that depravity and that disgustingness of the human beings all around me. I'm going to pray every night to tell you how happy and grateful I am that I am not one of them. Because what happens at the end of the play, God sends the bus out to collect all the lost sheep. And it honks around. It goes everywhere. Honk, honk, honk. Who's lost? Who's lost? Who wants to go home? Who wants? Me. Me. You going to let that disgusting guy go? Yeah, get on. All right. Everybody. Getting on. Gathered up everybody. And the driver has instructions. Everybody that's lost gets on this bus. And he gathers up everybody except this one guy. And he goes by and he says, you want to get on the bus? No. But this is the last bus. If we go, you'll be the only guy left. You're going to be all alone. You're going to be really lonely. Oh, I'm used to that. I spent a lot of time there. It's really not that bad. Well, my instructions are that you have to be lost to get on the bus. And I guess technically, I can report that I got everybody. And he drove the bus back and poured them all through the gates. And they got welcomed and it was the happiest day. They're just off for the most wonderful experience. And God said, you got everybody? Yeah, got them all. Except one guy. Really? Yeah. Where is he? Did you tell him? Yeah, but he wanted to stay there. And God said, well, I can't rest while there's even one lost sheep out there. And if the sheep won't come to the kingdom, I'll take the kingdom to the sheep. And he took the whole kingdom to this guy. And he said, son, hi, Dad. I'm here. Here's the doorway right here. You don't have to stay in there. Just come on in. No, I'm doing fine, Dad. Are you sure you're doing fine? Yeah, I'm fine. I don't really want to go in. And it turns out there's a third tradition of the kingdom. The only requirement for membership is a desire to be in there. Used to be an honest desire. But that kept out a few guys, so we modified it to just a desire. Sorry, I just want to stay where I am. I'm fine. I'm not like them. And so God said, well, I'm going to put my hand 1 inch away from yours. And I'm going to stay here for as long as it takes. And so if I were to take a picture, if I was an artist, I can just paint pictures with words. I would paint that picture of the one man sitting with God's hand 1 inch away from his, waiting for him to just reach up and touch it. And would be with quoting Everett Dirksen. You know, 10 years, 1,000 years, 10,000 years of waiting, 1,000,000 years of waiting. Pretty soon you're up to billions of years. We're talking about real time. So the picture would be up on the wall and it would have a title and it would be called Hell. And that's what it looks like. 1 inch away, and all you have to have is the desire to go there. And there's only one thing that keeps you out. Pride. Of all the character defects, this one is 99% and all the others total 1%. You know what I mean? Gluttony, envy, rage, lust, anger, rah, 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 rah. They all make a lot of noise. Look, it's disgusting. No problem. If there isn't the desire, it won't happen. So that's the end of the play. So now we'll go to the game and then we'll go home. Well, I got one little thing I want to give out to Chris at the end of the thing. And then just a 2-minute wrap up. Anyway, if you had a little boy, and you've all done this, and he's in a softball tournament and they make it all the way to the finals, and then they get crushed. They choke. You know what I'm talking about? Nobody gets a hit. 5 errors. They lose 14. Zip. I mean, and you know, they were crushing teams. Well, the team goes, ugh, you know, they really took it hard. But your son didn't recover from it. You know what I mean? The rest of the guys, 4 or 5 days, now they're back playing, jumping around, chasing the girls, doing all that. But your son is still moping around up in his room. And so you're going to have to cheer him up. You all know what the line is going to be, your punchline. After all, son, it's just a game, right? That's the line. After all, son, it's just a game. And the funny thing is, last night as I was kind of reviewing this thing in my head, I said, just a game, just a game. And I went, boy, that sounds familiar. It's like drop the cross and drop the rock. 26 years ago, at the International Convention in New Orleans, I was the last speaker on Friday night. I was the speaker from hell. The ceremony lasted 5 hours. I don't know if any guys were there. It was before they got the flag ceremony straightened out, and every country came up on the stage and had something to say. And then the next country had to talk longer. And then Lindy Boggs, the congresswoman from New Orleans, thought she was supposed to give her major speech of 35 minutes. And along about 3 hours, I had to go to the bathroom so bad I couldn't stand it. And so anyway, and by the time it was my turn, 5,000 people had left. I mean, they were bored. And I remember that I said, well, I'm going to tell the pinball story. The pinball machine. And I tell that every so often. And it went over great. Everybody, ha, 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 ha. I said, yeah, that was great. I told them a pinball story. And it was basically that these balls are down in the bottom of the pinball machine, and this is their bar, and it's dark, and this is where they hang out. And you're like, oh, boy, give me another one. Yeah, 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 yeah. And then a guy comes along with a quarter, drops it in, and it's kind of like the alarm clock going off in the morning, and your wife, get out of there, get up, you, oh, shit, here it comes, here it comes, here it comes. You know, and then the first guy's over there, boom, he's gone. Oh, shit, I'm next. Oh, Christ. Oh, I know what's coming. And then here's the plunger, and that's your wife pushing your ass out the door to go to work. Oh, the sun is out, it's bright, and oh, fuck, shit. boom, okay, here we go, another day. Bam, 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 bam. All I want is get back in that little hole. God, I'll be glad when this day's over. Boom, I'm back in there. Boom, oh, shit. You're not going to believe the day I had. Oh, give me a... And every so often, somebody would screw up pulling that thing back. You ever do that when you're playing? And you pull it up and that damn thing runs out of steam right here. And it goes, whoo! You don't get any score. It goes, poof! When that happens to a ball, it goes, whoa! More like it. That's more like it. They didn't lay a glove on me out there today. If I had days like that, I wouldn't be complaining. That wasn't bad at all. But guess what happens the next day? You're out there. Bam, 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 bam. Oh, the hole, I'm just going in. Oh, the flipper. I get to start the whole day over again. Bam, 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 bam. I got a guy who's a professional. Bam, I'm back up for the 15th time. Bam, 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 bam. He just set a record with me. Bam, 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 bam. Boom. Down he went. Great story, end of story. So now 26 later, I'm telling the story, and I said, God, man, you didn't know the ending. You didn't know the ending of that story. You just knew the beginning. Well, what's the ending? But I just told you. The guy's complaining, and the ball next to him says, hey, it's just a game. It's just a pinball machine. What? It's just a game. What the hell? I know the owner. If I push this button, the owner will come over, okay? So he pushes the button, the owner comes over, lifts up the top. What do you want? This guy doesn't believe it's a game. You don't believe it's a game? Come here. Look at that asshole. It's a pinball machine. Holy shit. It is a game. Now, what did he have when the owner picked him up and put him up here? An awakening. He had a freaking awakening. So I wonder, what does an awakening look like? Not from the being on the stage or the drama, in the game. The game. And I'll tell you, I think I'm getting close. A lot of things, strange things have been happening to me. I'm seeing stuff I didn't used to see, and trees are doing funny things, and sometimes I see my face as a mask. You know what I mean? I go, holy shit, that's just a freaking mask. There's somebody behind there looking out. Then I go, you're losing it now. Anyway, some things. So I'm imagining. Well, what the hell is it going to be like when I see more? This is what I think I'll see. So making up a story. Don't send me the nut word. I'm just making this up. I'm sitting in Ballast Point. You guys from Tampa know where Ballast Point is. It's a wonderful park, not far from where I live. And down there they have a fishing pier and a perfect view of downtown Tampa. It looks like it's rising up out of the water like Chicago. Have a snack bar. You can get coffee. I can ride my bike down there. And then behind there, there's picnic tables. There's women with their children. It is just the most peaceful setting. There's some stables across the way. Just wonderful. And I picture myself sitting in there, just thinking, just looking at God's world. And all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I look over, and right in the middle of the park is a door. And on the door, it says, exit. I never saw that before. It's got a red neon sign on top, exit. Yeah, like that sign. Only it's just the door. There's nothing behind it. And I go, God damn, has that been there all along? And I'm walking over and I see people sitting right near it and it's obvious they don't see it. And I go, well, maybe it's not real. So I walk up to the door and I go around behind it and it's nothing there. There's no building. There's just the front of the door and the back of the door. But it's in the door frame. And I go, well, I'm going to look like an ass, but I'm going to open the door. You know what I mean? Like, it couldn't go anywhere, but I'm going to open the freaking thing anyway. It says exit. So I open the door, and as soon as I crack it, the the light starts coming through. And it's very familiar light. You know what I mean? It's that light that you just, a little crack of it, and you start feeling comforted. And you can't help but just open it all the way, and you're just totally engulfed. It's just like, whoa! And there's no stopping. You just have to walk right in. And that's all there is on the other side, is just the light. And it's just like, oh my God, I can't believe this. And you find yourself reaching up, and you've got your hand, and you realize you're reading something in some book that you read that says you'll be walking hand in hand with the Spirit of the universe. And you go, how the heck could I have forgotten this? This is where I've been forever. But it seemed like I wasn't here. I was gone from here. What is all this about? And my Creator said, did you have fun? What? What do you mean? I said, did you have fun? I don't know what you mean. Turn around, look. So I look back. We've walked about 20 yards, and I turn around, look back. There's the door. Only on this side it says, entrance. And over the top it says, game arcade. That was a game arcade? Yeah. Did you like it? I had to work real hard to build that for you. Actually, it took 6 weeks. Not 6 days. Those glaciers, that's hard. It's hard to get that cold. I hope you enjoyed it. Well, I didn't know it was a game. I told you it was a game when I dropped you off. I said, go play for a while. I'll be back. Well, I was there for 78 years. Seemed like just a couple seconds to me. I just wanted you to have some fun. That's all you were supposed to do there. And I said, well, I've talked to a lot of people, and we used to use the analogy of game. Life's a game. It's a game. And we had different, well, what are the strategies that you had for the game? Well, we had a whole bunch of them. There was one crowd said, I'm opting out. I see it's a game. Screw you. Boom. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's one way of approaching the game. Oh, there's another crowd, and I see it's a game. I refuse to play it. I ain't playing your game. I'm going out to Nevada and sit on a rock. I refuse to play your game. And I'm the winner. And then there's those that find the game overpowering. They find that it's too complicated. It's too hard. So they try and find maybe drugs, alcohol, just anything. I can't figure it out. I can't understand it. And then there's those who decide that what you have to do is play it to the hilt. You play this game and you're going to win no matter what. And you devote your entire energy, and you achieve, and you got money, and you got power, and you got wealth, and you finally get there, and you go, there. I played the game till I died. I'm the winner. And God said, no, no, no. Winning the game of life would be to realize that it's a game. That's the only way to win, is to become aware. It's just a game. But God, it looks so real. I mean, it's real. All right, let's go back. I know you're having a hard time understanding that it's just a game. So let me give you... Here's one of my favorite games. This is one of the favorite things I ever created. I'm going to take you back to the Colosseum. You remember the Colosseum. The ruins are still around. Let's go back there. Let me show you. So we go back. We're back there. It's lions versus the Christians. And we're back in the Colosseum. And God said, now watch, here comes the lion, there's the Christian. Watch, I want you to watch, I want you to see this. And the lion comes out, and he comes after the Christian, and he's biting his leg, and the Christian's screaming, oh, God, it hurts. Finally, the lion eats them all up. And now the lion's full, and he's kind of sitting around, so they send a gladiator out to go after the lion while he's full. And the lion doesn't put up a good battle. And the next thing you know, the freaking gladiator has whacked him, and he's out. And they drag the lion off. And the crowd's going, yay, oh, God, I love this, the lion, the Christian. And then the gladiator fights another gladiator. And pretty soon, his arm is off. Now he's fighting with a knife. And he's got him down, and then, whoa, the emperor, boom, drag him off. Then the second gladiator eventually gets beat. So God said, you had enough? You've seen enough? Can you see it? And said, no, God, it looks awful to me. Well, come on downstairs, backstage. Come on downstairs, backstage. I want to show you backstage. We come down there, and the guy that was playing the Christian is talking to the guy playing the lion. And he said, who the hell taught you how to be a lion? Where did you go? Well, I went to method school. Method? You can't learn lion crap from method acting. You know how you're supposed to... Have you ever eaten anybody before? No, I haven't. Well, God damn it. You're supposed to bite me right here. I choke to death. Then you eat me, and it doesn't hurt. Did you hear me yelling? My leg. Oh, I thought you were just being butt. God damn it. What the hell is wrong with you? I can't believe you. Jesus Christ, stay with my friend. So the lion, trying to get even, goes, you tasted terrible. Don't talk to me about taste. That's makeup. I don't have anything to do with taste. Go talk to them. I don't have anything to do with that. Then the two gladiators. Are you the guy that killed me? Yeah. Well, you really screwed up. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Well, I beat you, didn't I? Yeah, well, you beat me because it was in the script. If we just went at it fair to fair and I didn't have to lose, I would kick your butt. But that's not the point. The point is you got us booed. Did you hear the booing when we were out there? You remember the end? You whacked my arm off. I'm with the knife. Money, you get me down. You put the sword in my thing. You look at the emperor. And the emperor turns to the crowd and he goes, remember that? And he went like that and the crowd went, yeah, let him live. You stuck the freaking thing in my throat, asshole. And they booed. What if it was a game? That's incomprehensible. What does that take away? It takes something very powerful away from the ego story. Death. The only reason the ego holds power over us, when we start to doubt the story that it's telling, it goes, oh, okay, you're making a lot of good points. But don't forget, death is inevitable. And then we go, yeah, he's got a point. You do die. Yeah, he's got a point. I guess I'm going to have to buy into the whole freaking story. What if you could see through death and see that that was a hoax? The story is over. It has no power anymore. Because it just doesn't happen. It's a game. It's a game. And so I'm talking to the Creator and I'm going, well, how many times do you come back? How often do you drop us off? What's the whole point of this thing? Well, it's kind of like a soul school. I just send them back there till they have a bigger awareness that it is a game. And then we just trudge the road to happy destiny forever in the eternal now. Anybody ever go back voluntarily? Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's guys that like to go back. Just like guys that like to rent an old movie. They already know the ending. They just like watching it again. And anytime they want, they can come back. They can go, I think I'll drop by the arcade and run through the whole drill again. Never know what role I'm going to get, and I'll be down there. And the higher power said, listen, I told you. I gave you instructions. Do you remember what I said? Maintain contact with me, and you'll always see this, just a game. I told you to be happy, joyous, and free. No matter what you saw out there, disregard it. Just be happy, joyous, and free. And I told you to always insist on enjoying the game. And you just didn't follow those suggestions. And you got overpowered by a magician that painted a picture of this that it wasn't a game. You sat there like the ball in the pinball machine going, I can't believe we got this thing out there. And he couldn't believe it when the owner held them up and they saw it was a freaking pinball machine. Felt like a fool. Felt like a fool. And so maybe we can just realize that it's just a freaking game. And the object is to realize it's a game. To have the awareness that the main event lies beyond the game. It lies in the ultimate reality, not in all this mishmash that's going on. So I hope we take that home. And in terms of awakening, I had hoped to have a hologram for everybody, but only one came in. And it's Chris's. So Chris, come on up. I'm going to give you a hologram that was prepared and sent to the far corners. And if you just stand right here, this is something that if you look at it long enough and seek hard enough, you will actually see God. You will see your own Creator, and there'll be no doubt in your mind. And this is the only place that you will ever be able to find it. And I'm really honored to give you the first look. You won't be able to see it all now. It'll be kind of like a mirror dimly. But you'll know that this is the way. You ready? Are you getting a glimpse?
Yeah. Glasses. I wasn't expecting that.
What does it say on the back?
Big book, page 56. We found the great reality deep down within us. In the last analysis, it is only there that he may be found.
This is the ultimate hologram. When you look in there and you can see the divinity in you, you've won the game. You can't go beyond that. Hold the mirror up for Lee. The mirror. I think the. Thanks, Chris. Thank you. God bless you. Okay. 5 minutes. I just want to say goodbye, and I want to tell you what I was thinking about when I was trying to prepare this. You know, I said, I want to do one that I think up. And yet, this is what occurred to me from the beginning, and it still occurs to me. I said, I want to make a present, a gift, for everybody who comes. Like the old-fashioned Christmas where you make it yourself, you don't buy it. Remember the boys who go out in the carpentry shop and they'd put together a little bookcase or something for their mother, and then the girls would knit stuff or paint something. And then we exchange presents where we just gave things that we made. So this weekend is a gift. It is a present. But the present didn't come from me. It came through me. So we know who to thank. And it's not me. But I do know this about this present. A regular present works like this. This is not a regular present. This is a spiritual present. A regular present, if it's the perfect present, and you get it, and you open it up, and you go, oh my God, this is beyond my wildest dreams. You don't get a present like that very often, because it's rare that anybody could ever find the whatever it is that makes you say that. You're so surprised, and you just say, this, I can't believe it. This is beyond my wildest dreams. Now, a spiritual present doesn't work like that. When you're given a spiritual present, the present opens you. And then you look inside and you open your eyes and you say, oh my God, this is beyond my wildest dreams. I never dreamed I was so wonderful. I never dreamed that the truth about me, when it was revealed, would make me say, this is beyond my wildest dreams. And so I hope that some of you got that present this weekend, which is a full awareness of your own magnificence, and that you live in that part of yourself for as long as you can. And so I'll just say, in wrapping it up, Merry Christmas. And we are officially at the end of the Far Corners weekend. Thank you all very much.